L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway right here on the Early Line on a Wednesday morning. Having a lot of fun. It's Davis Maddock. It's Donnie Wrightside. The topics continue to flow, and also the fallout from Super Bowl 58. Another championship for the Kansas City Chiefs, who will celebrate that championship today with a parade in Kansas City. So look forward to that a little bit later this afternoon. A lot of debauchery, a lot of drinks, and maybe Patrick Mahomes will hand a fan once again the Super Bowl trophy and walk away, not realizing that he actually did that. But the one thing we need to realize here, Davis, we are in the midst of maybe one of those magical runs in the NFL. It's very hard to three-peat, which we'll get to in just a moment. But if we take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and let's start with this question, Davis. Dynasty. Is it okay to officially say we are in a run for the Kansas City Chiefs that is officially a dynasty now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is like completely non-debatable. Three championships in 5 years, the first back-to-back championship since the 2003-2004 Patriots. They arguably they're probably favorites to have a better team next season than they did this year. You know, you trade away Tyreek Hill and you win a Super Bowl. Then you have like the worst wide receivers in the NFL almost. I mean, they're pretty lucky they hit on Rashee Rice in the second round of the draft. Things could have been real bad without the presence of Rashee Rice. They're going to run into some problems paying everyone on the defense. Welcome to everyone on radio here on the Early Line, Davis Maddock and Donnie Wrightside with you on Sports Grid this morning. We are talking potential Kansas City Chiefs dynasty. Not potential. It is. You know, they're going to have to pay Legarius Sneed. He probably is going to play this upcoming season on the franchise tag. But also, Mahomes' contract, very open and able to be restructured, right? They can push the money down the road. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. You run into a problem pushing money down the road when the players that you are paying become bad players. The New Orleans Saints, great example of this. They pushed money down the road on bad players that they couldn't cut. Michael Thomas, can't cut Michael Thomas, right? You owe him a ton of money. Derek Carr, you restructure his contract in such a way. I mean, you know, then you run yourself in a problem. But if you push the money down the road on players who can play, you're fine, right? You're just paying them the market rate for their past performance and their current performance. I think it is inarguable that they are a dynasty right now.
Like, you take a look at this, you know, what they've done since 2018, because sometimes you take a look at football teams and it's very hard to be great year to year to year in the NFL because there is a salary cap. And the NFL is designed where when you're a good football team, you get a worse draft pick. When you're a good football team, you're supposed to get a tougher schedule on a year to year basis. You take a look at 2018, they lost in the AFC Championship game. Then they go to the Super Bowl in back to back years, splitting that, winning one and losing one. Then they go back in 2021 to the AFC Championship game and lost. Then they go to back-to-back Super Bowls and won those both year. So when you're taking a look at a team that's always playing with house money, it seems like it's the Kansas City Chiefs. It has a lot of feels for those New England Patriots, Tom Brady teams, where over the years it's like, okay, when the next season starts, Davis, you already pencil the Patriots in to that final four year, or at least making it back to the AFC/NFC championship game, which it feels like they've been doing time and time again. Now, the one thing that we always get back to here is back-to-back is hard enough. A three-peat has never been done in Super Bowl history. There's now been 58 Super Bowls here and 58 champions. You take a look at some of the teams that had a chance to do that. The Packers, the Dolphins, the Steelers, all coming. The last team that was able to do that or try to do that was the 2005 New England Patriots that lost in the divisional round. So before we get to the Super Bowl odds, which we're going to talk about in just a few moments here for next season, is it feasible that the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl, win it, and come away with a three-peat, Davis, something nobody has ever done?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible. I definitely would bet against it. You know, there are a couple things that are really going to impact their upcoming season. The number one is Travis Kelce is going to be 35 years old. He definitely had a down regular season, right? The first time he ever didn't have 1,000 yards. He got pretty close there in the end, chose not to play in week 18 to try and get those yards. He said his body was feeling pretty beat up, and then he really turned it on in the playoffs. But how much are you going to be able to access that as a 35-year-old? Are you going to be able to get through a 17-game regular season? Like, maybe he just doesn't play as much in the regular season. Maybe he misses a couple weeks that he would have played just because he is 35 years old. And, you know, like we saw this regular season, you can lose to the Broncos, you can lose to the Raiders and figure it out. But the relationship on field between Kelce and Mahomes, I mean, it's kind of what won them multiple games, right? I mean, Kelce was converting the biggest plays of the game in the divisional round against the Bills and in that Super Bowl against the 49ers. And if you take that away and, you know, you're having to turn to Noah Gray to play some of those tight end snaps, like, that's going to be a real problem. Just like we actually saw with Brady in that iteration of the Patriots, you remove Gronk from that system. Remember that last year, Brady in New England? It was painful to watch. His final pass as a Patriot was a pick six in the divisional round. Like, you miss out on like the guy. It's not great. So I'm not saying they are going to win it. Certainly they are eligible to do so. They're going to be amongst one of the five best teams in the NFL next season. And the other thing is, the AFC is so good. If they were in the NFC, maybe I would say it's more possible, but they are going to have to beat at least two to get to the Super Bowl of Lamar, Allen, Burrow. And Stroud. Add CJ Stroud and the Texans to that. I think they already kind of deserve that respect, man. That is a tall order.
Yeah, and you take a look at some of those odds here coming up at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We're literally only hours away from Super Bowl 58, and yet we're trying to see who's going to make and win the Super Bowl next year. It's not a surprise that the 49ers at a 5-1 price are leading everything, even though they just lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. As Davis pointed out, it's a little bit easier of a path to get there in the NFC than it is the AFC, followed by the Chiefs at a plus 650 price, who won Super Bowl 58, the Ravens at a 9-1 price, the Lions and the Bills both at a 12-1 price here, followed by the Bengals, and also the Dallas Cowboys. If we're looking at those top flight runners here, right? Forget about those long shots here. Is it right? Do we agree that the 49ers should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl, followed by the Chiefs, or even one of those teams like the Ravens and the Lions taking that next step here?
I don't think it's the Lions. I think the Lions are more likely to fall back than they are to take the next step. Your Philadelphia Eagles actually might be the team that everyone's so sour on them. Oh, no one wanted to play. They get blown out by the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's going to be a big – people are really going to overreact to that this offseason. The bones of, like, a truly elite NFL team is still there. I don't think Sirianni's as bad of a coach as people are saying. You know, it's just what happens when a team ends their season in kind of ignominious fashion is everyone wants to pile on them. I think the Eagles probably are a pretty good chance of being the best team in the NFC next year.
All that matters is Jalen Hurts gets right in the pocket here. Kellen Moore comes over as the new offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. So certainly some interesting times on the way. But you know, we're going to focus on the losers of Super Bowl 58, the San Francisco 49ers. Where do they go from here? Davis and Donnie, we'll tell you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling through hour number two right here on the early line on a Wednesday morning edition. SiriusXM channel 159. You're watching live. It's Davis and Donnie. We're still talking that fallout from Super Bowl 58. Talked a lot of Chiefs, and rightfully so. Are they a dynasty? Are we in the midst of a dynasty? And how many Super Bowls can Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid stack on deck over the next few seasons, as both of them seemingly still in their primes here, according to Andy Reid? Hey, look, I'm coming back next year. And Patrick Mahomes, obviously, in his late 20s, he's got a long way to go here in the NFL. But let's take a look at the losers of the Super Bowl, which usually you get that hangover into next season. All of the expectations here for the San Francisco 49ers was full go for most of the year as the favorites to win Super Bowl 58. They were a favorite once we got to the game of anywhere between 1.5 to 2.5 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook all throughout the week. Davis, before we get to any Super Bowl fallout or what we think is going to take place next year, the season for the 49ers for you, successful? Yes, they went to the Super Bowl. A little bit of a rocky road in the middle, but talk to me about your thoughts on the 2023 49ers here.
I think you have to view them as a success. I mean, if you had told them after trading up to draft Trey Lance with the 3rd overall pick that Lance would never start a playoff game for them, that they would trade him away for a 4th round pick just to get him off the team because it was a distraction to have him around, and that they would still play for a Super Bowl while Trey Lance was on his rookie contract, I think, you know, like a year into that, they would have been like, oh my gosh, absolutely. Like, we will take that. Though, you know, not even knowing that it was because they took Brock Purdy with the last pick of the NFL draft that they ended up getting there. No, they're a team that is going to have some real tough decisions when it gets to free agency and restructuring their contracts. Brandon Ayuk's brother posted on Instagram the other day that he wants, Ayuk wants to be a Raider. And you kind of have to wonder how much of the guys on the team like want to be paying for more, how many of them are happy with the way the offensive system is set up. George Kittle, we talk about Kelsey getting old. Kittle is going to be 31, and he kind of plays more of a bruising, fast-paced style than Kelsey ever did. So maybe his age peak, maybe George Kittle's already passed his age peak. Certainly it is possible that that would be the case. Christian McCaffrey is going to be 29 years old next season, coming off of a season where he touched the ball over 400 times, both as a rusher and a receiver for 20 games. He had that lower body injury to end the year that seemed to impact his performance a little bit. And normally we would say, the running back, like whatever, you stick Elijah Mitchell back there, it's going to be fine. I think McCaffrey is pretty central to the offensive identity for the 49ers. And even if they would still be a good offense, they would have to change the way they played offense if McCaffrey was less effective next year. And I certainly don't think you can count on him, you know, heading into his age 30 season. That would be, if McCaffrey is still as good when he is 30 as he was when he was 28, I would be stunned. Not saying it's impossible, because he is one of those guys who is like built different, but it's definitely going to be a feeling of a near miss, right? Everyone in that building is like, man, that was a pretty good shot to get it done. And now we got to kind of go back to square one and start building.
Felt a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles when they lost that game to the Kansas City Chiefs. Stayed healthy the entire season. So talented across the board. You have to maximize those efforts when you get there. The Eagles weren't able to do so. Neither were the San Francisco 49ers. But you're right about Christian McCaffrey. The one thing is question mark throughout his career is not the unbelievable talent that he is, but can he stay healthy? That was your perfect season. Outside of that Washington game, which when he got hurt was probably the perfect time, gets to sit out a couple weeks, comes back healthy for the playoffs. I don't know if you're going to get that type of usage rate next year for the San Francisco 49ers out of Run CMC. But if we take a look at the franchise, Davis, itself over the past couple years, much like the Chiefs, there's a lot of winning in there. The difference is when the Chiefs got to the pinnacle, they actually cashed in. The 49ers haven't been able to do that. You take a look at 2019, lost in the Super Bowl. The following season, mired by injuries, they missed the playoffs. Then back-to-back in 2021 and 2022, losing the NFC Championship game, and then finally winning the NFC Championship game and losing in the Super Bowl. It has to start the way on the franchise, being so close for so many years and not getting over the hump here. How do you think the Super Bowl hangover from this year spells into next year, Davis, for those 49ers?
it's hard to say how it's going to impact them, like, on the field, you know, which it will to some degree. You know, Shanahan will add this wrinkle or that wrinkle. You know, maybe they'll change some things up on the coaching staff. I think one of the things that the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan should invest in would be a game management coach. You know, we know some organizations have these. The Ravens have these. Your Eagles have a game management guy. The Rams have a game management guy, although it appears Sean McVay has never once listened to his game management guy. Dude loves to punt. Dude loves to kick field goals. But that is where Shanahan has made his most frequent mistakes. The big one, you know, obviously the end of the first half where Shanahan winds the clock down, doesn't take a timeout, lets the Kansas City Chiefs kick the field goal, and they knee instead of, they could have gotten the ball back with about 45 seconds left, gone down and attempted a field goal. That would be, I mean, just being more aggressive on fourth downs and more aggressive trying to get points in some of those marginal spots would make the 49ers even better than they were. And they were, I mean, they were the best team in the regular season. If you look at any of kind of the advanced stuff, DVOA, EPA added on offense, EPA subtracted on defense, anything like that. You know, the other thing is Purdy is going to need to get paid, not this season, but next season, right? And then you have to start thinking, well, what do we pay Brock Purdy? What is the fair market value? Because we picked Purdy up as the last pick in the seventh round. Does that mean, does the system matter? Is Purdy, was he just a true gem? What would Purdy look like on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What would our offense look like if we just said, you know what, screw it, Kirk Cousins, 37-year-old Kirk Cousins is our quarterback, you know? That is a hard decision to make. I do not envy any of the decision makers in San Francisco from having to do that, right? That feels insanely hard. I would not know how to approach, you know, paying Brock Purdy a contract extension. I wouldn't even know what to offer him.
Yeah, it's crazy because when you take a look at the NFL landscape, right, it's almost like you have those 3, 4, 5 years with that rookie quarterback deal that if you hit on, fantastic, which means you won a Super Bowl, and then you can start back over and get a new quarterback and try to do the same thing and try to save on that money that you wouldn't have to pay a franchise guy once he gets there. Like you see the issues now which might come up in Philadelphia, the massive contracts for the Jalen Hurts of the world, the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes. You try to wiggle through that, but where your advantage comes through there is not paying those guys top dollar. So you can pay for the tight end, for the offensive tackle, for the wide receiver, and or for the running back at that point. But I do want to focus on this. Kyle Shanahan, obviously a trajectory similar to Andy Reid. I don't think anybody questions, Davis, how good a coach Kyle Shanahan is, meaning an offensive coordinator, and be able to get his guys in great positions. But sooner or later, you start get labeled a loser and choking in the biggest moments here. You better stem that tide because Andy Reid sort of had that moniker in Philadelphia, goes to Kansas City, gets a Super Bowl, and now we don't talk about Andy Reid and all those struggles in the NFC Championship games and the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Kyle Shanahan, boy, he needs to get over the hump sooner than later here, Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you just said it right there, which is that Kyle Shanahan is where Andy Reid was 10 years ago. And Kyle Shanahan is in his 40s. He has got a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, Kyle Shanahan could take 5 years off, you know, go find himself in the woods, you know, go on a journey to Asia and find religion or whatever, and come back and still be, you know, 52 years old and ready to coach in the NFL for 20 more years. A lot of time left. I mean, maybe ultimately Kyle Shanahan is a better offensive coordinator, offensive play caller than he is a head coach. I would be loath to put that moniker on him because it's clear that Kyle Shanahan can do things that other NFL coaches cannot. If they could, they would replicate it. Like, he is always evolving. Kyle Shanahan always has a good offense. It doesn't really matter who his quarterback is, who his skill position players are. He always elevates the level of what his team can do. So once he gets over the hump, you're right. This will all be forgotten. No one's calling Kyle Shanahan a loser if and when they do actually get over the hump.
Three best play callers in the NFL. Sean McVay, Super Bowl champion. Also Andy Reid, Super Bowl champion. Then you take a look at Kyle Shanahan waiting to be that Super Bowl champion. He's still got a great football team. And yes, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, they are favored to win the Super Bowl next season. We'll see if it plays out. Mark Zeno's coming up next year to talk more football action right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the early line, talking a lot of football action here, Super Bowl 58, a lot of ramifications as we head into 2024, but it's time to crank up some of the arguments and some of the fun. Donnie Wrightside here with Davis Maddock as we welcome in Mark Zeno to the early line, because we got topics to hit on still from the Super Bowl and also, more importantly, the NFL draft coming up. Mark, how's it going this morning?
DRS, you look Vegas refreshed. Davis and I got to spend Monday morning together, so appreciated sitting in your stead. But you look like you've got that little extra pep in your step this morning. Vegas treated you well.
It did treat me well. Now, let's have some fun right off the bat, because I did miss the Monday show here trying to recuperate from that Super Bowl Sunday. I was told that you said the best quarterback of all time is Patrick Mahomes, the best coach of all time is Andy Reid, and the Chiefs might be the best version of a Super Bowl dynasty we've ever seen. I want to let you combat that. Was that true from what I've been hearing from the people behind the scenes?
Yeah, right up there with, well, I don't want to get into a political conversation here, but yeah, let's just say that might be a different version of the truth. You know, there might have been some spin there put on by some of our colleagues here about my love affair with the Kansas City Chiefs. And let's just say I've just about had enough. If it wasn't Valentine's Day, I wouldn't be wearing red right now. Trust me, this red is not for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ah, there we go. Kansas City Chiefs. Go ahead, Davis. Get it. Come on. I need to see some of this argument that happened here when I missed here. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, one, I've been thinking about it, and Zeno, we did the Peyton Manning versus Mahomes discussion, and Zeno laid on us. We were talking about this after the show. Zeno laid on us that Marvin Harrison was the only, you know, real stud that Manning played with. And then we were doing a little bit of Remember That Guy, which obviously is everyone's favorite game here at Sports Grid. And we were remembering Reggie Wayne and Edgerrin James and Stokely, the slot wide receiver, and Dallas
Brandon
Clark
Stokely of Super Bowl 2035 fame against the New York Giants, for crying out loud. Brandon Stokely, are we really bringing that into the equation? I mean, look, Marvin Harrison is the only Hall of Famer that Peyton Manning played with. And he did not have, well, I don't think Tony Dungy was as an accomplishment a coach as Andy Reid was for as long as he did it. That's no disrespect to Tony Dungy, but, you know, look, I look at this Chiefs dynasty, and that's what it is right now, and you can't take anything away from them, but, you know, we have a tendency to crown people so early. And so early on, remember Brady won 3 or 4, then didn't win one for another, what, 10 years easily?
10 years.
So, I mean, yeah. let's pump the brakes on all of this stuff. Let's see what all this stuff looks like when Andy Reid eventually retires, when Travis Kelce walks away from the game, when Patrick Mahomes is dealing with the Christian Watsons and the Sky Moores on a regular basis. That's not to say the Chiefs can't reload and find better players and find newer players. Of course they can. I mean, hell, the Patriots got Randy Moss and went, you know, 16-0 or 18-0 to, you know, till they lost the Super Bowl. So, yeah, sure, they can get better again. But I hate this over-the-top sort of logic that we start to apply with everything, where this is the greatest thing we're ever seeing. You know, it's like a guy who starts dating a girl. It's like, I'm the most in love I've ever been. Yeah, until she dumps you on your ass and you find somebody else and you're more in love with somebody else at that moment in time. Like, can we just pump the brakes a little bit and stop with all the finality talk of what we're watching in front of us as the greatest thing we've ever seen.
It's absolutely correct, by the way, Mark. So I do agree in this. Like, the conversations that pop up as being a prisoner of the moment, we've all done this before. That's the greatest play I've ever seen. Nah, there was probably a better one about 3 to 4 years ago and a better one before that one 3 to 4 years ago. But the simple fact of the matter is, you take a look at Tom Brady. I don't know how we forget this, and maybe it's a new age where people are just starting to learn about the NFL now. Tom Brady was the best big-game quarterback in the history of the league with ice water in his veins, doing it on a week-to-week basis. And he's won 7 Super Bowls and played in 10. And again, the coaching argument here going up against Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. I love Andy Reid. He's got a ton of wins here. But you can't be the best coach in NFL history when one guy has way more rings than the other one. So I'll let you counter that point, Mark. But I'm with you here. Like, Patrick Mahomes, unbelievable. Andy Reid, unbelievable. Nobody's better than Tom Brady. He might get there, but you can't put him in. He's now in the conversation. Since when is the conversation 7-3? That's not a conversation.
And he better get to 8, because even if he gets to 7, Brady beat him heads up. So let's just stop with this lunacy that another quarterback is going to go out and win 8 mother bleeping Super Bowls. Like, just stop. Like, I'm telling you, this train comes to the station to a stop at some point in time. Like, here's the lunacy. I had somebody here in the Atlanta sports media market turn around and say, well, this is the most watched Super Bowl ever, so it must be the best Super Bowl ever. Are you kidding me? I could think of like five better Super Bowls that I watched than this one. Because it's the most watched. By the way, for the record, every year the NFL almost sets a new viewership record. And don't think for one second the Taylor Swift thing didn't account for how many people watched this Super Bowl. The NFL just put it out yesterday. They had the largest 18 to 34-year-old female demographic watching the Super Bowl that they've ever had. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's because they were really interested in watching Brock Purdy dump it off to Kyle Juszczyk. Yes, that's why all those females turned in. No, they tuned in because Taylor Swift was part of the conversation. So, you know, we just get caught up in these ridiculous conversations about what we just watched as the greatest thing ever, and nobody has any context. You know, like I turn around and made a reference that nobody would remember this because it happened even before I was born. But Super Bowl 13 between the Cowboys and the Steelers was one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. Like, I don't know if anybody watching out there is old enough to remember, but they scored 28 points in the fourth quarter. It was a back-and-forth game nonstop. I mean, it was a high-scoring game that was kind of the hallmark of its time against the two biggest teams in the NFL at that point in time. But nobody talks about that. Why? Because the internet wasn't around, and we don't remember it. So we just got to get some perspective on this stuff, and I really have had enough Chiefs love. Like, when I see it now, I just change the channel. If it's on the internet screen, I just go to another browser. If it's, you know, if there's a commercial, I'll just change the channel. I don't need it anymore. I'm good.
Well, Davis, it's inescapable right now. Yeah, I mean, look, it is completely inescapable. You can't do anything because it is crossed over. Like, the Chiefs they're part of popular culture now. The time person of the year is dating a Kansas City Chief Super Bowl champion. You know, it's like if you're gonna spend time on social media, spend time watching, you know, made for the masses television, doesn't matter, you know, wherever you get your news, you local news, right leaning news, left leaning news, you are gonna get a Kansas City Chiefs story, which is gotta be Zeno, for non Travis Kelce members of the Chiefs, it's gotta be kind of interesting to, you know, be Tommy Townsend, the punter, and you're celebrating the Super Bowl and you turn around and Taylor Swift is right there. That's gotta be, I mean, I just was thinking about that the other day for like Nick Bolton. You know, like, what does Nick Bolton think about the fact that he plays, you know, with Taylor Swift's boyfriend? I don't know. I never really remember celebrity being involved in the NFL like this.
No, and look, the NFL has smartly and wisely capitalized on all of this. That's what they're supposed to do. Like, you know, again, we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago, that they've made at least $330 million off Taylor Swift in the time that she's been around the NFL. And that's just in sort of marketing and brand awareness and advertising, because everywhere that anybody is putting an NFL clip online that has Taylor Swift in it, guess what? All those ad rates are going up because everybody's watching and everybody's clicking on it. So the only thing I could think of where pop culture sort of caught in this much across the board, and this will be a reference here that many won't understand, was Secretariat. Secretariat was one of six athletes, if you will, the horse, that was on the cover of Time, Newsweek, and Sports Illustrated all in the same exact week. Like, that's the company of, like, Reggie Jackson and Jackie Robinson, like, historic figures that have, you know, places in history beyond that. I mean, so this Taylor Swift thing has really grabbed the NFL. They're not going to get rid of it anytime soon. The real question is where, does that viewership stick around? Let's just say, for argument's sake, if Travis Kelce in the offseason decided, you know what, Taylor and I are getting together, we're going to make 100 babies, and this is it, I'm done playing football. Does that large demographic of 18 to 34-year-old females who tuned into the Super Bowl that didn't before, are they coming back to watch it again? I don't 100% know the answer to that, but, you know, I'm sure that there's some other pop star out there who is now scouring the internet rosters of football players going, he's cute, he's cute, he's cute, he's cute. Because guess what? They can capitalize off this as well. Like, it's not beyond America to capitalize on, monetarily capitalize on a moment and a theme that, you know, people are doing it into. So the next big pop star or movie star that wants to date an NFL player, guess what? You'll get all the love in the world as they watch you walk into the skybox. They watch you jumping up and down and clap. I mean, you know, if only I was a 24-year-old woman, life would be a lot different for me.
I'll tell you about this, too. You take a look at, you know, Taylor Swift, the NFL has to love this. A new album on the way keeps those fans coming back. Should they get engaged in the offseason, probably the NFL Network will break into coverage and go directly to the beach and the cameras and go live. And I mean, they are going to eat this up for all they can at this point. Which, let me ask you this question here. We'll get to some draft a little bit down the line here. Next year, New Orleans hosts the Super Bowl. What are the chances that once again we see Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs back for a chance at a three-peat for you, Mark?
I mean, no one's ever done it, so it would be historic, right? I mean, they have to make some major improvements on the offensive side of the ball if they want to get there again. Their defense will not be as good as it was this year. I find it hard to believe that it will, because their defense was at such a high level for so long part of the season. They have to find some answers offensively. And if they don't, they're not going to be there. There's going to be a team that's going to figure out how to shut them down. I mean, you know, it happened several times during the regular season. Look, you could argue, you could say, the Chiefs didn't win, the Niners lost. If you go look at the first nine drives, only 3 points came out of the first Chiefs nine drives. The Niners might have lost that game more than the Chiefs necessarily won it. And you can say the same thing about the Ravens and the Bills games. It's not an easy road for the Chiefs to cover.
Football season has ended, but the conversation on the Sports Grid Network certainly won't end with the NFL champion of next year. Who's that going to be? But let's find out from Mark. Where are we going on the college basketball slate tonight? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line as we flip it over to some college basketball action. Down the right side here, Davis Maddock with also Mark Zinno joining us. Typically in the fall, we're talking SEC football with Mark, but we're going to turn it over to some SEC basketball. Then as we open, there are some good games tonight in the SEC, which we will get to. But Mark, I want to ask you about one game last night. Kentucky sort of slow playing it over the past week to week and a half here, not looking like the team that we saw early in the season, but a big win last night, 75-63 over Ole Miss. Is this a good sign of things to come for Kentucky? And what'd you like about him last night?
Well, look, you know, Kentucky had lost three in a row at home for the first time since Rupp Arena opened, as in ever. So it was a tough go of things for the Wildcats over the past couple of games, and this was absolutely a game that they needed. Look, Mississippi is another team, too, that's kind of starting to come back down to earth. You know, that was one of the teams that was near the top of the country in luck rating in KenPom. And even though they're a good shooting team, they're just kind of starting to get outclassed as we get deeper into SEC play. But, yeah, that was a good win for Kentucky last night. They certainly needed it. This is a team right now that still kind of, you know, they're in at this point in time, but they need a little bit more to sort of solidify their schedule here. And then they got to get Auburn coming up here at home again. I'm sorry, go to Auburn, rather, on the road this coming weekend, which will be a real tough test for them. Auburn, for my money, is one of the top three teams in the country at this point in time. But they do have a favorable schedule the rest of the way out with a revenge spot against Tennessee coming up with the last game of the season. But there's real no reason why they can't run between Auburn and Tennessee, which is the next game Auburn and the very last game of Tennessee. They can't run the five games in between in conference play. I still think Kentucky's a very good team. They're a great shooting team. Obviously, they can nail the three, and that's always going to keep them in games.
Let's take a look at a game tonight in the SEC. It's South Carolina and Auburn on the rotation, 699-700. This is an 8:30 tip-off on the SEC Network tonight. Heavy favorite for the home team tonight, Auburn, at a minus 11 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total that opened up at 139.5, now down to 137.5. Setting the table in this game, South Carolina coming in at 9-2 overall in the SEC, Auburn at 8-3, and looking at the win streaks here, South Carolina on a 7-game win streak here, Mark, 3 straight road wins in the SEC. Auburn got tripped up in their last game, but also Auburn is unbeaten at home. It's a big line tonight. What's your vantage point on South Carolina and Auburn?
I mean, seeing a line that big, you would have thought Vanderbilt was the opponent, right? Like, it's not supposed to be a team that is 18-3 or 21-3 rather, and as good as they are. Look, I mean, the computers don't love South Carolina. Right? Like, objectively, if you believe in KenPom and the computers, they don't love South. There are 7 teams ranked above South Carolina, all in the SEC. So that ought to tell you where they are with teams like Texas A&M and Florida coming in above them. So The computers don't love them. This is a South Carolina team that is very strong defensively, and they grind the tempo down. They're bottom 10 in the country in pace, and that's their strength, is to get the game to slow down. If they can do it, they got a shot to stay within this number, but it also tells you how good the computers think Auburn is, not only, as you mentioned, at home, but just what they do on both ends of the floor. Auburn is a top five team defensively. They're a top 15 team offensively when it comes to adjusted efficiency on both ends of the floor. So they play fast, you know, top 70 in the country in tempo. So it's a styles make fights kind of deal. Usually the tempo goes to the home team in these situations here. Stay away game for me. I'm not stepping in front of Auburn because I think they're too good. I don't think South Carolina is as legit as their record says here, but with a defense like that, it's kind of like, you know, how do you not take the 11 points? So no playing this game for me. I'll sit back and watch with a lot of interest and kind of look to see what both of these teams do and then look to their next game to see where they go.
All right, we've got another. We got a real mismatch here between Tennessee and Arkansas. Tennessee, a top 10 team in KenPom. Arkansas, outside of the top 100 here. Tennessee, only 8.5-point favorites on the road against the 12 and 11 Razorbacks. What do you make of this one, Zeno?
Arkansas is a team that I kind of left for dead after they lost to Kentucky at home. I didn't think they had anything left in them. They came out and they spanked Missouri, and then, you know, they get drubbed by LSU, and then they get this weird, strange win against Georgia, who's actually a lot better than what we thought they were. I still don't think this Arkansas team is very good. They're not good on the defensive end of the floor at all, and this is a team that sort of, you know, makes me wonder if Eric Musselman is kind of on his way out the door. It just sort of feels that way. For the Razorbacks here, that things might be changing, because this was a team that we thought last year, you know, had every chance to make the Final Four or at least make a deeper run in the tournament, and it just didn't work out that way. But this is not an Arkansas team that I like defensively. They're just god-awful, dead last in the conference in adjusted defensive efficiency, and they can't stop anybody on the perimeter or inside. It's not a game. It's not a team that I would look to play. I'd probably look to a Tennessee team total over tonight and just hope the fact that Tennessee, after their last showing, comes out and goes, guess what? We need to make somebody pay for how poorly we played last time. And Arkansas, you're up.
Yeah, should have some decent tempo in that game nonetheless. But if we factor in the SEC as a whole, just take a look at the standings. Teams with 7 wins or more in SEC play, that's the Kentucky Wildcats, the Florida Gators, and the Tennessee Volunteers, each with 7 wins. Then you find the Auburn Tigers playing tonight with 8 wins, followed by the South Carolina Gamecocks, who are also playing Auburn tonight with 9 wins, and then the Alabama Crimson Tide at the top of the standings, also with 9 wins here. If we're looking at the odds market here in the SEC, it's Alabama at a plus 125 price, Tennessee plus 270, Auburn plus 280, followed by South Carolina, Kentucky, and Florida. Right now, if you had to pick the winner of the SEC regular season, Mark, who's it go to for you?
Give me the Auburn Tigers. That's still the best, most complete team in the conference. And look, they have Kentucky. After South Carolina, they have Kentucky and Tennessee still on deck. The rest of it's pretty favorable with Georgia twice, Mississippi State, Missouri. But, you know, as far as the regular season title is concerned here, I think that they are the team that I would back. I think Tennessee has kind of had too many hiccups along the way already. And when it looks at South Carolina, you know, there's probably, if they lose this game, I think they will, there's probably another slip up on deck for them against a lesser opponent in a team like LSU or even going traveling to Mississippi down the road. They got to go to Mississippi and A&M, who's a very tough team, especially defensively, A&M, you know, in back-to-back games. And then they still have Florida and Tennessee again. It's a real tough stretch for South Carolina here. I mean, LSU and Mississippi State are really their only reprieves in the final 7 games that they have left. So I don't like the chances for South Carolina, but I would go at Auburn. And I think Auburn still has a revenge date left. No, they don't. They already revenged their Alabama loss. Yeah. So, that's the only other thing that they would need help with, is Alabama, just given the position that they're in right now.
All right. Theme of the day, pretty huge spreads. We have the team that is favored to win the college basketball national championship in UConn going up against DePaul, who is 299th in KenPom right now. They are 290th in offense, 277th in defensive efficiency. 24.5 point spread here for the 3-2 DePaul. Oof, man. Are we even tuning in to this one, Zeno?
As a devout and lapsed practicing Catholic, it is Ash Wednesday, so I should not talk unkindly about the Catholics at DePaul, who continue to take the Big East money. And if there was not that religious tie to their school, guess what? They probably would no longer be in the Big East. But hey, you know, tithing runs deep. What can I tell you? It's what I grew up with. DePaul is not a legitimate Power 5, Power 6 basketball team at all. Like, they're just not. They belong somewhere in, like, the Colonial, now the Coastal, whatever you want to call it, or even in the American, somewhere with that level of talent. They're just going to continue to get outclassed in this conference year in and year out because they're not going to invest the resources into trying to make it a better program. Am I going to lay 24.5? Hell no, I'm not laying 24.5. That's just crazy. I mean, at some point in time, UConn will be able to take their foot off the gas pedal, pull up a little bit, and, you know, just let DePaul continue to score because they'll be up by 27 and this game gets to within 22 and no one bats an eye at it. So, no, we're not going to watch. No, we're not going to lay 24. And we just are hoping that UConn does not get anybody hurt in this game so they still have a chance to go back-to-back and win the national title again.
Yeah, you take a look at the Big East standings there, and yes, UConn is 12-1, followed there by Marquette, who got a nice win over Butler last night on the road. The Creighton Blue Jays coming in third here with 9 wins in Big East play. So it's the number one team, the number four team, and the number 17 team here. I always get a kick out of DePaul here. I mean, how badly do you want that Chicago market to hold up? Because it is an easy and a free win for most of these teams that are playing DePaul on a week-to-week, year-to-year basis here in the Big East. But if we factor in who's going to win the Big East, is it so simple just to say here that it's the UConn Huskies at a minus 1,500 price? Is there a chance that Marquette can climb up here? Talk to me about those Huskies here. Are they getting a free pass because they play in the Big East here, Mark?
Well, they're not getting a free pass. Look, the Big East is the second best conference in college basketball, and there's a reason for that, because you go 10 teams, or 9 teams rather, that are all within the top 60, top 70 of KenPom, right? Like, these are all legitimate opponents night in and night out. So if you're not Georgetown and DePaul, guess what? You got a tough game on your hands no matter what. There is no real look ahead spots in the Big East because everybody can beat you on any given night. Marquette to me is still, I think Connecticut's a little bit overvalued. I genuinely do. Marquette to me is still, I think, the best team in the Big East, despite what we're looking at here numbers wise and conference record. Look, they got two matchups Marquette does with Connecticut. Right. In fact, Marquette's next game is coming up on Saturday at Connecticut. So they have two chances here to go and steal wins against UConn, a team that I think that they can do it against and win this Big East title. So I absolutely do not count out Marquette as a team that is a viable team to go win the Big East. And even to a certain extent, the hole might be a little bit big for Creighton. And they've had some lapses in games that I really didn't think that they were going to lose. But did, and kind of, you know, played closer. The Butler loss was bad. The Providence loss in OT was bad. Like, you know, those were teams that they should have beaten, especially Butler at home in a game that was 99-98 in regulation, guys. I mean, crazy to think college. But for two defensive teams, like, that was what was supposed to happen. So Creighton's got the outside shot. But Marquette, to me, is very, very live. And if you're getting plus money on them, take them.
Yeah, I think that is legit. Real quick, before we get out of here, let's take a look at the national championship odds across the board. We just spent a lot of time talking about the Big East. Do you have anyone? I mean, do you have a portfolio going right here? Does anyone at the top of the board look good to you? Are there any moves that we need to make here on Valentine's Day?
I think Houston is still the best team in the country. I mean, they are at 9-1. You're not going wrong with putting it on them. You know, the Big 12 this year tested them enough that getting through the tournament for 6 games is a challenge. You know, I spoke before about how highly I think Auburn is. But again, Marquette would be on my card as a team that has a chance to win the national title. A lot of that's going to depend on draw and where they finish and how they get seated. Same thing for Houston and Auburn. I mean, is Kansas you can't not bet Kansas at 22-1. It just feels like there's a ton of value in a team that's got the pedigree to go win it. I just don't know that they're as good as they've been in the past.
No, and I agree with you there. And the fun part about this with college basketball, you can wait right up till March Madness and get great prices on teams to win the national championship. UConn, I cashed a ticket at 25-1, but it would have been much more sweet if I was rolling in here through the NFL season with a Ravens cashed an 18-1 ticket for a Super Bowl. But it happens, Mark. It certainly does. Thanks for joining us today on the Early Line, breaking down college basketball. I'm sure we'll see you soon. Davis and Donnie will continue on with the Early Line, talking a little Fade the Public coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we hit hour number three on a Valentine's Day edition here of the Early Line. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Davis Maddock here. And at this time, we always like to bring the public into the equation. So from the Sports Grid TV account here on X, we put out a daily poll. This one today, who is more likely to reach the Super Bowl next year in New Orleans, which is Super Bowl 59? The options on this poll were the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Pretty clear cut. Two teams that we just watched play in the Super Bowl. Favorites to get back to the Super Bowl next year. But we know how hard it is to reach. So for myself, Davis, just to set it up here before we actually go into our reasoning behind it, I did take the Kansas City Chiefs, even though nobody's ever been to three straight Super Bowls here in NFL history. Where did you vote in this poll here on Sports Grid TV?
I mean, I voted for the Kansas City Chiefs because I don't need to know anything about their offseason other than that they still have Andy Reid as the head coach, Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, and if you have those two things, you probably are going to be amongst the best teams in your conference. I've got more doubts about the 49ers' ability to replicate what they just did this most recent season. I mean, and they were really good. Like, make no mistake about it, the 49ers, if you added up all 19 games that they played, they were better than the 20 games that the Kansas City Chiefs played. They just did the whole summary of it. But at the biggest moment, when they really needed to turn it on, the Kansas City Chiefs turned it on. And not, I mean, the 49ers didn't embarrass themselves or anything in that Super Bowl. It's a freaking overtime game that went down to the very last play, the very last possession. So, you know, just kind of the game has to end at some time. And if they could have kept playing, like, they, I guess the game would have went on. But I just have more doubts. You know, maybe the 49ers, they definitely do play in the easier division, the easier conference. So maybe, you know, they would be favored in whatever playoff game they play in. The Chiefs might be dogs in at least one of the playoff games that they play. But I did vote for the Chiefs.
Yep, and on this day in Valentine's Day, where maybe you say, okay, you hand a rose over and your heart melts, the San Francisco 49ers melted my heart on Super Bowl Sunday. Hour number three is next. Don't you go anywhere.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers, all so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.